everyone. Welcome to Five More Minutes, the show where two friends wear apple bottom jeans.
Boots with a fur.
I'm Kendra.
And I'm Scott. You had to write it down for that?
Well, what I wanted you to do was echo jeans and then echo boots with the fur, but you said boots with the fur, so I just rolled with it. Because you know in the song, it's like apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur, you know? But I didn't tell you that because I just wanted to see if you could figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I got halfway there.
Anyways, so we do things like that, but we also, you know, talk about everything we did growing up and everything that we didn't do growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Yeah. We're just really trying to mix it up lately.
Do what we can.
Yeah. Well, in case my outfit isn't obvious, I watched some, you know, college football. It was a homecoming game. We actually won and we haven't been doing very good, so it was kind of impressive. Like Matilda and I were like, oh, let's leave early so we can actually go to the Coug and like whatever, not have to wait in line. And then we were like, this game is actually really good, we have to stay till the end.
Dang.
Yeah, but so we're there and I bought like cheap tickets. Matilda wanted to go to like the top of the student section because she wanted to not be with the old people. So that's fine. So we were just like at the top. And like, since we haven't been doing very good and no one likes the coach, it was like pretty empty for a homecoming game. I'm also sure a lot of people are turned away by the needing to be vaccinated or having a negative test result. But this guy in a banana suit keeps flashing on the screen. Like just like a student wearing like a half banana suit.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, we were like, whatever, this kid's just doing his thing. So during halftime, they open up Coogville in the practice field next store because there's like a connecting gate so you can go over there and get alcohol or whatever. So we came back. We didn't go to like the exact same place we were because we went in a different like, you know, little hallway thingy. And we're up there and there's just like a package on the ground. Matilda like moved down a step and I went to step down and I was like, why is there just like someone's mail? So she opened it and it was like full of either business cards or stickers or something. So she pulls out this.
Oh.
And we're just like, the banana guy has stickers and he left mail. And there was like no one in like a 10-foot radius. Like there were some like dudes over here. And I don't know if the box was like partially opened or if it was closed or not, but Matilda took one and then closed it. And then I opened it and was like, no, I need some of those. I took like five, but I didn't close the box. And then we just pushed it back to where it was. I think I like halfway closed it. So then like a few minutes later, he like is coming up the steps and I was like, we should move. But we didn't. And he sits down behind us and he's being kind of weird because he's like trying to get his box. And like the bleachers are pretty wide, so it's not like we were standing on the actual seat part, so you could have like walked behind us. But he like goes down to grab his box and he looks at these other guys over here and he's like, hey, why is my box open? Like, did you guys open the box? And they're just kind of like, but they clearly saw us open the box. They saw us. And he just like grabs a box and he like sits down and he kind of is just like being weird. I was like, I feel awkward. And we moved down like a couple more steps because he was like behind us. And then he like walked down and was like went down to like the front row, like by where Butch was. He kept being on the screen, but Matilda was like, I feel kind of bad because I stole stickers. And I was like, he left a package just like in a stadium full of people. Like,
yeah, and I'm assuming he was just going to hand them out anyways, right?
I would think so. I did find the WSU banana guy Instagram, though, and he has them for sale on Redbubble. But when you order things from Redbubble, you don't ship them yourself. Like, someone else ships them, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I've known people who have posted things on there. And they're, like, $250. But, yeah, we were just like, why would you bring, like, a box and then just leave it unattended in the stadium and not expect anyone to open it? It also had, like, his address on it and his name. And we were just like, why would you like leave this here? Like, but
the mysterious banana man.
We went to the Coug, and the Coug is the bar where everyone like writes their names on the walls and stuff. They like paint over one of the walls like every couple years or whatever. And there's actually some, we had an open to close for the College of Ed, and like part of our, like you paint your shirt design on there. So like there's only like half of ours left, but they saved like part of it. Yeah. But Matilda put one of these stickers on her phone. And I, every time she set it down, like screen down, I was like, please put that back over. Because she also went to follow Banana Guy and then unfollowed him because she was like, I posted the sticker on my story. I don't want him to know it was me. But I like pulled one out of my pocket and I was like, you should stick this on the wall. So in the Coug by the men's bathroom, there's just a Banana Guy sticker. And he's a freshman, so he's not going to know it's there.
Not for a while.
Yeah. It was really funny, though. And I don't really feel bad because he left a package in the bleachers. I don't know.
So is he just trying to, like, really establish himself as this banana man?
I guess so. But, I mean, I don't know if he was just going to, like, pass him out. Like, I mean, no.
That'd be the only reason to have him at a game.
Yeah. And, I mean, I didn't take that many, so I don't know that you could tell that, like, any were really missing. Because there was probably, like, 200 stickers in the box. Like, at least. Yeah. It was like a box like this big, and it was just full of stickers, probably more than 200. But yeah. Nice. And then I had a Cougarita, which is another drink. It has like a regular name, but that's what they call it there. It's the one with the Corona and the tequila and stuff in it.
It's like a beer garita, I think is what it's usually called.
But she either put two types of tequila in it, or tequila and another type of alcohol and the Corona.
Mm-hmm.
And then some like mixer stuff, but I was like keeping pace with Matilda, but then she switched me, and because I had to drive, and I was like, you know, probably a good call.
Was the drink pretty good then?
Yeah, it was like $12.50.
Wow. Oh my god.
Yeah, and Matilda paid for it, so I bought dinner, pretty much evened out. But then this morning we went to the Daily Grind to get coffee, which I don't really like, and I should have just gotten a sugary drink, because I was like, I'll just get cold brew, but the cold brew was not good, and I would have actually, like, drank it if it had been, like, a sugary drink.
Yeah.
And I kind of, like, Thomas Hammer doesn't open until 8. I didn't feel like going to the one Colfax place that was open. I didn't want Starbucks, and I was like, this is fine, but I forgot that the Daily Grind doesn't always have good coffee, so I kind of knew I was going to regret it, but I was hoping that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But Matilda paid for it, which is good because her drink was expensive. She got a 32-ounce blended drink, and my Jesus. Cold brew was like $3.15, and the bill was $16. She literally got a big $13 drink, yeah. And then when I was in Colfax, I was like, okay, this cold brew is gross. I'm going to drive through this 165 place. The line, there was like 5 cars, and I was like, that's not bad. But then it had been like 10 minutes and only like one car had left. And I was like, as soon as this other car leaves, I'm leaving, because I have to drive home and go to the grocery store. And if it keeps going at this pace, it's going to be like 40 minutes before I order. So I was really depressed, but.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Mm-hmm. Well, we also won our homecoming game, University of Idaho, surprisingly. And it's funny you mentioned Banana Man. I just remember when I was going to school there. At the basketball game specifically, there were like 3 people that dressed up as bananas, and then one person that dressed up as a gorilla, and they were always together, like right underneath the opponent's hoop with a bunch of signs and being obnoxious.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Actually know that though, because I texted my friend Katie to be like, hey, Matilda and I are going to Moscow to eat. Do you want to like meet up with us? And she was like, no, I'm hanging out with my family, but it should be wild out because we won too. And I was like, oh, snap. But Matilda had wanted to go play pool, but then she was tired. So after we went to Tapped, and then we just went back to the kind of sketchy hotel.
You stayed at a hotel?
Yeah, we stayed at the American Travel Inn or something, which is like worse than a Motel 6, but it was $250 because it was a game weekend.
Yikes, that sucks.
And it was like the only place that there was like availability. We could have stayed in Moscow, but I didn't know we were going to end up going over there, or else like we could have.
Yeah.
But like Matilda was like, why didn't you get a B&B? And I was like, because we waited until 2 weeks before the game to book it, and there were none left. Like they were all camping spaces.
Yeah. RV spots and whatnot.
Yeah. And anything else would have been too expensive anyways. I think there was like a couple things, but they were like $600 a night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was all right. We got up early anyway, because Matilda has like a 5-hour drive. But I think asleep like while she was talking, like, because I had like 2 double beds. So I was like laying down and I was like staring at her, and she was like talking about school. And then all of a sudden I like hear like the water running and I'm like, did I fall asleep while you were talking? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh my bad. Cause it was only like 10. So it wasn't even late.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a chill night on the Discord, normal groups. I grinded characters in Super Smash Brothers cause I don't have any on my Switch.
Snap.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, it was just me, Jackie, Ian, and Keaton, and then Cheyenne. So kind of a quiet night.
Yeah, no Sawyer?
No, didn't see him pop up. Must have been gaming or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose we can get into the heart of the matter today.
Oh, why are you talking like Forrest Gump?
I don't know. I was going for more of a Southern attorney.
Oh,
are we declaring to the people?
Are we talking about a John Grisham novel?
No.
dang.
It's actually, I just felt like talking like that. It's not related at all.
I have no idea.
My topic today, is the video game Crash Bandicoot.
Oh.
Yeah. And this was, I don't remember if this is the first video game I ever played, but it was definitely the first video game I ever played on the PlayStation, like the OG PlayStation.
Snap.
Yep. Shout out to my Aunt Tiffany, who was the one that had it, and I played it on there first, so that was fun.
If I was going to cover the first video game I ever played, it would probably be the floppy disk version of Gumby. Is that even a video game?
Wow, I don't know. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, yeah. You might be asking yourself what a bandicoot is.
This is,
and maybe
true.
You're not. This is true.
I've never thought about it.
Yeah, and I certainly at the time I didn't think about it, but apparently bandicoots are a group of more than 20 species of small to medium sized terrestrial, largely nocturnal marsupial omnivores.
That's like everything that's possible.
Pretty much, yeah. Apparently, they are native to the Australia-New Guinea region, including the Bismarck Archipelago to the east and Seram and Halmahera to the west.
Snap. So,
yeah, kind of a real choice place that they're apparently alive. And slide number one is actually a picture of a real little bandicoot. So... yeah, you can get a load of that. It's like a cross between
it looks like an anteater.
I was gonna say an anteater and like a rat is kind of what it reminds me of.
That's weird, and it's got like a Rudolph nose.
Yeah, it's got a long little snout with a red nose. So yeah, that is what a bandicoot is. That is apparently what our main character of Crash Bandicoot is. So Crash Bandicoot is a 1996 platform video game developed by Naughty Dog and published by Sony Computer Entertainment for the PlayStation.
Naughty, naughty.
Naughty, naughty. Naughty Dog. It became a series that has multiple different styles of games throughout its life. We'll get into that a little bit later. And obviously, since it was published by Sony directly, it was exclusive to the PlayStation console back then. So this game's premise chronicles and follows the creation of the titular character, Crash, who is a bandicoot who has been uplifted by the Dr. Neo Cortex through experimentation. Okay. So, yeah, so he has basically been experimented on. He's like a mutant now, and he has some intelligence. He's not a very intelligent character, but...
so kind of like Wolverine.
Only, I guess.
Only less smart.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't really talk. He doesn't do a whole lot. He kind of just exists. And specifically, Crash is a mutant Eastern Bard bandicoot.
Okay.
So do with that information what you will.
Eastern Bard?
Yeah.
Does he toss a coin to his Witcher?
No, it's like Bard, B-A-R-R-E-D.
Oh.
Like behind bars. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't make him.
Okay. I just meant the name. Speaking, I don't know.
Speaking of who made him, though, Crash was created by Andy Gavin and Jason Rubin and was originally designed by Charles Zembilius. I won't really expect you to know their names because this is the only time I'm going to talk about them. But shouts out to you guys for creating Crash. And he was originally intended to be a mascot character for Sony to compete against Mario and Sonic the Hedgehog, because both Nintendo and Sega at that time had pretty well established characters between the two of them. So they were just trying to find someone to compete with that.
All right.
And before Crash received his name of Crash, throughout the project, he was referred to as Willy the Wombat.
Okay.
Yeah, before they nailed down his actual name.
But wombats are different.
Yeah, they were going for just like some kind of marsupial slash.
Are wombats something or other? Kind of like flying squirrels? Do they have webs?
I think wombats are closer to like a big gopher.
Oh, yeah, they look like a badger kind of.
Mm-hmm. So Crash did manage to gain some mascot status, but it was difficult to gain the large following of the other two. So he was always kind of, I think of the three, he's probably the least known. I mean, definitely less than Mario, because everyone knows Mario.
Mm-hmm. It's me, Mario.
It's me. And then Sonic got to go fast, so everybody knows Sonic too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the special things, his animations have been praised, but his voice is often of criticism. And I say his voice loosely because he does not talk, like I mentioned. So it's pretty much just sound effects or him going like, wow, you know, like weird stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah. And they kind of weren't a big fan of some of those. And then over the game series, throughout time from 1996, really to just last year was the most recent game that was put out. His character has undergone many redesigns, and some of those have gone a lot better than others, and we'll take a look at those later.
All right.
So slide number two is actually some fun little concept art I found of him when he was referred to as Willy the Wombat, and they were kind of trying to work out what he would look like.
He kind of reminds me of the Tasmanian Devil cartoon guy, Taz.
Yeah, some of those definitely look kind of close to that. But they kind of deviated from some of these. It is kind of interesting to see some of the like big chunky ones that they had before.
And I like the one with the big upper body where he's slouched and has a mohawk.
Yeah. I don't even know what kind of animal he looks like.
I guess
like
he always has a mohawk, but for some reason that one stands out more because of the angle, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so now we know a little bit about Crash. And I did what I could to find out kind of his origin stories. These older games, you know, didn't have a whole lot of like cut scenes and a lot of background information. It kind of just throws you into it.
Mm-hmm.
But to start out the game, apparently it was the evil Dr. Neocortex's goal to mutate all the animals in these island regions and then make them into his army. So that was how Crash was originally created. He brought him up and then was hoping to use him for world domination, but he was rejected from Cortex's army and like kicked out into the ocean. They basically said, we don't want you. Because he wasn't susceptible to his brainwashing for some reason. I don't know if the indication there is that he's kind of dumb, so he can't be brainwashed, but in either case, it wasn't working out for him. So Cortex has been using his Evolvo Ray, quote unquote.
What?
Evolvo Ray.
Okay.
Yeah, to make local wildlife evolve to the point where, you know, they're useful to him. So there are many mutant animals wandering around for his army on this group of islands that we're in.
All right.
And apparently the game is loosely set to be kind of in the Tasmania region. So that's kind of the vibe you get with the islands. Before Crash was jettisoned out of Cortex's army, he had fallen for a female bandicoot named Tanya.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And after he's kicked out, his goal is to defeat Cortex, prevent the world domination, and go get his girl.
The things you do for love.
Yep. So that is pretty much all of his motivation. The game opens up with Crash washing up on the first island's beach, which is called Insanity Beach.
Insanity or Insanity?
It's with an N, so it's a play on it. Yep. And he begins his journey to traverse the islands to get back to Cortex. Along the way, Crash is only aided by Aku Aku.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who is a witch doctor spirit that acts as the guardian of the islands.
Does he wear one of those plague masks?
Well, he's the spirit, so he is only the mask, is how he shows up. Yeah. So, and we'll actually kind of look at, you can look at slide 3. So the main focus of what we're going over today is the 3 main PlayStation games that Crash Bandicoot were. So you have Crash Bandicoot, Crash Bandicoot 2, Cortex Strikes Back, and then Crash Bandicoot Warped are the 3.
Is that chick Tanya?
No, that's his sister Coco. We'll get to that later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then you can go to slide 4, where you will see the top left corner. Crash is washed up on the beach. He's a little confused.
His doesn't know eyes why are there. Crazy.
Yeah, he's got some kooky eyes sometimes.
He could give Crazy Eyes a run for her money.
Right. And they're always like a little off center, and they like to make one bigger than the other because he's kind of goofy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like this?
Yeah, sure. I don't really know what it looks like you're doing, but
Okay.
Something. And then the other two pictures on the slide. So the first, the one in the middle is kind of how he shows up in the first game, like his normal character model. And then the one on the right is how he was upgraded in number 2. So a little bit different.
All right. I mean, it's mostly the same.
Yeah, it doesn't change too much. Mm-hmm. But then slide 5, we'll briefly touch on the new game just because it did come out last year. But this was his redesign. So this is what he looks like officially today.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time because it's funny. When did that game come out? It came out in 2020. And the last Warped, which is number 3, came out in 1998.
Oh.
So it's about time is correct. Wow. Yep.
Hey, a PS5 upgrade available. Too bad you can't get yourself one of those. I mean, you have one, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you got to get lucky, you know?
Well, I just didn't have money when it came out, but now you really have to get lucky.
That's true, yeah. They're just not coming out. Okay, so now that you are Crash and you're on your island journey.
I am?
You are. You play as Crash.
Dang.
You're Crash now.
Okay.
So there are generally a few different types of levels throughout the game. There's the normal level where you're moving forward, getting through obstacles and getting to the end of the level. Mm-hmm. It's a relatively straight path. The other option is you're running towards the screen away from something. In this first game, it's usually a boulder. So it's chasing you kind of Indiana Jones style and you're running away from it. What else we got? So then we obviously have side scrolling and platforming. So when you're going side to side, and you can also climb a lot of like towers, and there's a lot of vertical levels where you're trying to get to the top. So a lot of platforming action that way. You can ride an out of control animal. I believe in the first game, it's usually a warthog. So Crash will jump on the warthog and you just wildly blitz through the level trying to control him, but you're always moving. You can't stop.
All right.
Yep. And those are kind of the generous. And then obviously boss fights. There are boss fights for each island. In each of the levels, there are crates with various items in them. Crash can collect Wumpa fruit, which is kind of this peach looking apple fruit that appears in the game. Yep. If you get 100 of them, you get a free life. So that's really their main focus. But they're stored in crates. And in that slide, you can see there's some crates behind him on slide 4. But there's those things all over the levels, and they all have like fruit or, you know, bonus lives and things like that in them.
Mm-hmm.
There are also Aku Aku crates. So there are crates with that little mask symbol on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if Crash collects one, you get a free hit. So you don't die from it, but it will use up your mask. And if you gain three of them, you get a brief run of invincibility, and you know, you can just basically run through enemies and do all that stuff that a lot of these types of games usually have. But invincibility does not save you from falling into holes. So yeah, you learn that pretty quick. On the islands, there are also TNT crates that will detonate, and other crates that can grant you bonus rounds. And bonus rounds is basically this extra little side scrolly stage where you have to try to get all the crates in it. It gives you lots of fruit and lots of extra lives if you can get through it. But as you go through the game, they get difficult. So in Crash, you get hit once and you're dead. It's really pretty unforgiving unless you have a mask. So there are a lot of ways to die. You can burn, you can jump in a hole, fall into water, you know, get attacked by enemies. And they have a lot of quirky death animations that they gave Crash. So
why are they quirky?
Well, like if he gets burned, he'll kind of look at the camera and just turn into a pile of ash with his eyeballs in it.
That's weird.
Yeah. And if he gets hit by an enemy, it'll pop up this screen and show him flipping around and then falling on his back dying. So, and just some weird stuff like that.
All right.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. All right. So now he's on his journey officially. He is moving on. He is able to make his way through the first island. I believe there are four islands, if I remember right. But he battles against a tribal chief, Papu Papu.
There's a lot of repetitive names Aku Aku and Papu Papu.
Mm-hmm. That's how they roll, man. Hmm. Not all of them are like that, but some of the kind of the more tribal focused names are. So you're able to beat him. You have to fight him. It's kind of weird because he's one of the only human bosses that you fight as a tribal chieftain, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you have to go in, he swings his crazy staff at you, and you have to jump rope it and then jump on his head. There are really only two ways for Crash to destroy enemies. It's either by jumping on them, or he has a crazy little spin move where he spins like a tornado.
Kind of like a Tasmanian devil.
Pretty much, yeah. And some enemies are only susceptible to one or the other. So you might not be able to jump on all of them. Some you have to spin, and some you have to jump on. Some you have to do both, like a turtle. You got to jump on its back to make it pop into its shell, and then you spin it away so he's gone. So pretty cool.
All right.
Okay. Well, Crash continues his little journey to each of the islands, essentially defeating Cortex's other genetically altered animal henchmen. There's lots more, including Ripper Roo.
Not a kangaroo.
A mentally unstable blue kangaroo.
Well, that's not good, because kangaroos already seem a little hostile or mentally unstable.
Unhinged.
Volatile. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then you have Koala Kong, who is obviously a koala, but he is roided out and giant. Big old muscles with a tank top. And you have Pinstripe Potaroo, a suit-wearing, Tommy gun-toting gangster, who is also a Potaroo is a small marsupial as well.
Okay.
Yep. And so that is slide number 6. You get to see all these cool characters.
So Potaroo is the one in the red.
Yep.
And then repeat all their names.
So you got Papu Papu.
Uh-huh.
Ripper Roo.
Uh-huh.
Koala Kong. And then Pinstripe Potaroo.
So nipple guy. Kangaroo Papu, dog. Papu.
Kangaroo, yeah.
He looks like a dog. He's a kangaroo dog.
I suppose so.
He looks like a crazy dog from a cartoon.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then you've got pumped up rock mouse. That's what this guy looks like.
Yeah.
And then angry fox man.
I guess that's one way to remember them.
Papu Papu.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's the blue one's name?
Ripper Roo.
Right, it's alliteration.
Yep.
And then
pretty much for all of them.
Ripper-roo. And then what's the next one?
Koala Kong.
Koala Kong, kind of like Donkey Kong. And yeah. Then something with a P.
Pinstripe.
Pinstripe
Podaroo.
Podaroo. So weird. Yep.
So, long story short, he's able to beat all these folks. There are a lot of different fights for each one. They're all pretty unique. Does he do a nipple
twister?
No, he just pretty much jumps on their heads or spins them into oblivion, you know?
Well, that guy just got some nipples out there.
You jump on his head, so you don't. No nipple play here. I know. I see. You're sad to hear it.
Well, it's just that it's almost like he's flaunting you with them, you know?
I think the focus was supposed to be his gigantic belly, if I had to guess. But
okay. Well, you know. It's Sunday.
Yeah. And so Crash's efforts eventually lead him to the final island. Yay. He's beat all these crazy animals. And you have to fight Cortex's second in command, who is the chemist, Nitrous Brio. They call him Embryo in the game.
Like an embryo. Embryo.
Yep.
And
gave up on that.
Well, you said N, but it's like M.
Yeah. Yeah, wordplay.
You have a lot of slides.
Yeah, a lot of pictures.
Yeehaw.
So you fight him. He turns himself into like a giant hulking monster to fight Crash. He basically takes his own chemical potion to make this happen. And that's what slide 7 is. Our good bunny Embryo getting ready to fight you.
Wow, he's ready to rage.
Oh yeah, he's like this game's version of the Hulk, basically.
He's gonna get low.
Get low. Well, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, so you're able to fight and defeat Embryo. And since he's at the end, the castle basically starts crumbling as part of your fight. Things are getting destroyed. And you're able to escape to Cortex's blimp, where Cortex emerges finally to confront Crash with his plasma gun. And after a pretty cool boss fight, Crash wins, and he embraces Tanya on the blimp as they watch Cortex's castle burn down. So hip hip hooray. But slide number 8 is some different iterations of Cortex through the games as he appears. So this is our main bad guy in pretty much all of them.
That's the same guy from the slide before?
No. This is the head boss. The other guy was like his second in command.
Oh, okay. I was confused. So why does this guy have an N on his head?
Because he's Dr. Neo Cortex.
Oh.
Yeah. So they call him N Cortex or whatever.
I see.
Dr. Neo Cortex. So that's slide 9 is kind of your final boss fight with him. Really what it ends up being is you're, you know, on the top of his blimp. He's floating around on his little hover scooter or whatever, trying to shoot you with his gun.
Mm-hmm.
And every so often he'll shoot a bullet that you can deflect back at him to hurt him. But it's a lot of like jumping and dodging, crazy stuff going on the screen. So.
All right.
A good final boss. And then at the end, there is, you know, your reunion with Tanya. So that's slide 10. You can see Tanya's the one on the left. And then just ignore the other two for now because they come later.
Wow, she's got an hourglass figure.
Yeah. Through my research, apparently she was designed after Pamela Anderson.
Okay, I can see that with the blonde hair and the boobs.
Yeah, but they said this version is even toned down from their concept one to not be as sexual.
Okay, sure.
Yep. So that's Crash's girl. They ride off into the sunset on the blimp and they saved everybody. Yay.
All right. Woohoo.
Yeah. So as a fun little epilogue to the game that it shows you afterwards, Papu Papu sells the remains of the evil dude's castle and opens up a plus-sized clothing store. So good for him, right?
Yeah. Thriving in the 90s.
That's right. Ripper-roo undergoes intense therapy and higher education to write a book about rapid evolution and its consequences.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a turnaround. So look at him. Yeah.
Distinguished gentleman. Koala Kong goes to Hollywood to become a film actor. So your comparison to The Rock is holding true there. And Pinstripe opens a sanitation company in Chicago and prepares to run for office. So he's doing the things, probably gang related, but you know, who are we to say?
Yeah.
And Embryo becomes a bartender because it also has his love of mixing things. So there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
An alchemical bartender.
There you go. Yeah. He is overqualified.
I think maybe I'll quit my teaching job to do that. Okay. He could open up a nerd themed bar and it could all be like alchemy stuff. It could be like a D&D alchemist laboratory. Let's do it.
All right. It's on the list. Doing it. So the original Crash Bandicoot received generally favorable reviews. It averaged from about 8 or 9 out of 10. Huh. So yeah, did very well overall and really got them started on this franchise, because then they pretty much moved directly into the sequel, which is Crash Bandicoot 2, Cortex Strikes Back. It came out only a year later in 1997. So they were cranking it out. The levels in the game, they played largely the same, obviously with improved graphics and some level design. And Crash also got a few new actions in his arsenal. In this game, you could do a body slam to like break reinforced boxes or pits doors into the ground, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you could also slide, which you couldn't do before. Mm-hmm. And if you jumped directly after your slide, he actually jumped further and higher. So it was kind of a upgraded jumping mechanic.
All right. Which really doesn't make sense in real life, but that's fine.
It doesn't. But I mean, in some games you have a double jump where you literally just jump again on the air. So, you know, yeah. Okay. So in this game, Crash starts out as being abducted because he's trying to go find his sister Coco a laptop battery. That is how the game opens up. A laptop
battery?
Yep. His younger sister, Coco, who is that other girl on that slide you're on, is like the tech brainy of the two. So she's very smart, always seen around with her pink laptop.
How come do her eyes look like wrenches? Crescent wrenches.
Well, you know, limitations of programming player models on the PlayStation 1, you know. They tried to give her some extra bubbles. Yeah. Bubbles in the eyes. So you go out to find her a battery. It's dead. You're pretty much the gopher at this point. Go find it for me. And he's abducted. So Crash is transported to an ancient warp room.
Warp?
Which has a, yeah. So it's like this circular room that you're in. And then it has like little portals in it that you can go through to transport you places.
All right.
And it turns out Dr. N. Cortex is the one that has kidnapped you and brought you here. Okay. So, yeah. He appears to Crash as a hologram. He's not in the same location, and he gives him these instructions. He's saying, hey, I turned over a new leaf. I have discovered an upcoming alignment of the planets that is going to create like a solar catastrophe that is going to like destroy the planet. To save the planet, I need you, Crash, to help me collect these pink power crystals so I can power my machine to stop it and save the world.
Okay.
So, yeah. So Crash is not one to ask questions, so he doesn't. And he helps Cortex collect the crystals. Basically, in this game, you use the warp rooms. You go into a level, you get the crystal, and you come out. And then you basically do that for each warp room. And I believe there are 5. So there's 25 levels. And each one has a crystal, a gem, and a relic. I guess I didn't mention in the original Crash Bandicoot game, if you were able to get through the whole level, get every single crate, and not die one time, you were awarded with a gem. So that was just kind of like a personal challenge type thing to get those. And they could potentially open up like little bonus areas for you. This game, they cool on that a little bit because it was so hard to get gems in the first game. So in number two, as long as you got all the crates, you got the gem. You didn't have to do it without dying, luckily.
All right.
Yeah. So you are going through getting these power crystals, and every now and then a hologram of Coco or Embryo from the first game will pop up to crash. But they're always like highly distorted. You can't quite figure out what they're trying to tell Crash, but they're trying to get to him and tell him something, you know, something's fishy here. But they don't get through to him until it is too late. And Crash gets all 25 crystals. And so Cortex is like, okay, great. Bring them to my new assistant, who is, I don't remember if they refer to him as a doctor, but he is N-Jin because they like the names.
Why do they keep doing that?
Because that's how they roll. Oh, but I guess it's worth noting, as you go through and, you know, every warp room at the end, you basically have a boss to fight. So slide number 11 are the bosses in this game. You can see our good old buddy Ripperoo makes a return.
Wait, now he's a bad guy? I thought you said that he did. I thought you said he was like a good, he like figured himself out.
Yeah, but if you think about it, if Crash is doing things for Cortex and Ripperoo's trying to stop him from doing that.
Oh, he is.
Maybe something's up. Yeah.
I see.
And I mean, he's always one for chaos anyway. So some of these people would just fight you just to fight you because that's how they are. Mm-hmm. So you fight Ripperoo again. Yeah. So angry and, you know, argumentative.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And then the next two are the Komodo brothers, who are those two, obviously, Komodo dragon lizards in the middle.
Okay.
You fight both of them at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got this big old hulking gentleman, Tiny the Tiger, who is anything but tiny. He's a big boy.
Is he a tiger?
He is a tiger.
Why does he have spiky shoulder pads?
Because he's hardcore. I mean, what more do you want?
I don't know, man.
And then obviously we get to N-Jin, who is the new second in command of Cortex, who's on slide 12. So he's a pretty cool looking guy, wouldn't you say?
That's the N-Jin person?
The one on the left, yeah.
Okay.
So he has had some problems and he has like an active rocket stuck in his head. So he's not quite all there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Looks like it. Kind of looks like Chucky. On the one side.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you bring the crystals to N-Jin, Rocket Head Man, and he tries to forcefully take the crystals from Crash by killing him. So you basically have another boss fight. You have to fight and defeat N-Jin. And, of course, Crash wins. Mm-hmm. And now it turns out that...
Well, doesn't Crash only win if you win?
Yes, you have to make Crash win. But we're all pro gamers, so we win all the time.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, of course, it turns out that N-Jin and N-Cortex, Dr. N-Cortex, main bad guy, has been working on a brainwashing machine, like up on a satellite in space. And their goal is to use that to brainwash everyone on the planet so that they can have world domination, basically.
Okay.
So that is what they want the crystals for, is to power this machine.
The world domination machine.
Pretty much. And so Embryo, who's, you know, his second in command from the first game, he tries to get you to instead get all of the gems in the levels instead of the power crystals. So if you do that and you get to the end of the game, Embryo is able to use the gems to destroy Cortex's machine. And then they save the day. Crash ends up defeating Cortex in a space battle. You have like a spacesuit and a jetpack, and you're like chasing them through meteors and stuff. And so he's able to win. You as Crash are able to win. Then, yes, the station and the machine are destroyed. So, yay, you win again.
Yeehaw.
Yep. Yeehaw. So I did this in kind of a weird order, but you obviously see the weird mask thing back on slide 10.
Mm-hmm.
So the next sequel, Crash Bandicoot Warped, came out a year later again in 1998.
They're really just pumping them out.
They were. And it follows number two directly. Like, immediately after two happens, this one basically starts. It starts with the remains of all of Cortex's space station crashing into the Earth. And the impact unleashes Aku Aku's evil twin brother, Uka Uka, who is that other dark mask on there.
Uka Uka. That's whose yes. brother? Aku Aku's?
Yeah, the witch doctor spirit.
Uka Uka?
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Oy. So we won't... The formula in these games are pretty the same, so I'm getting kind of less detailed on each of the plots.
All
right. But basically, yeah. But basically, this evil mask joins forces with Neocortex again. And a new villain, Dr. Nefarious Tropy, who is obsessed with time travel. And he is also referred to as Entropy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Wait, because they keep the end thing going. Mm-hmm. The other guy was Engine.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Kendra's poor brain is so overloaded.
Yeah.
So they want to do a similar thing in this game. They want to go through, collect all of the power crystals that are scattered throughout time, though. Now you're available to time travel and go to different areas to get these power crystals. And if they get those, they want to use their power to enslave the Earth because they're bad guys, of course.
Okay. Like everyone on the Earth?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they roll. And this one, Crash and Coco both team up to gather the crystals before the bad dudes can get them. So your whole goal is to go get the crystals before they can. And Coco is a playable character this time, but all of her levels only had her either riding her tiger, Pura, or driving vehicles. So she was really only like piloting things. But it shook it up a little bit. And in this game, Crash and Coco go through Tiny Tiger again, mm-hmm. Who's on slide 13.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new one. Dingo Dial is the other one on that slide.
Dingo Dial?
Yep.
Wow.
Can you imagine what his animals are?
A dingo and a crocodile.
There you go. So he is another, obviously, experiment.
Yeah, I'd say.
And then you fight your good buddy Engine again. And then this new guy, Dr. Entropy, and both those guys are on slide 14.
He looks like something from Beauty and the Beast.
Entropy does?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a funky looking dude, but what can you do? So you're able to go through all these before you come up against Cortex again.
Mm-hmm.
And go figure, Crash and Coco save the day. And Cortex and Entropy are stuck in a timeless warp prison as babies with Uka Uka, the mask. And that's the slide. The next slide is them, for some reason, turned into babies, and they're just basically stuck here in purgatory.
Okay, wait, who turned them into babies?
Since they were messing with time, and it's like a time warp, they basically got sent back in time.
Oh, so it's like Benjamin Button.
Kind of, I guess. Yeah. They never go back in time in Benjamin Button. He just ages back.
Well, true.
Yeah. Okay. So, some fun facts now. Those are kind of the three mainline games. This game specifically, Crash Bandicoot 3 Warped, it went on to sell 6 million units, making it one of the best-selling PlayStation games. And even in Japan, it surpassed the sales of both of the previous games And became the first non-Japanese PlayStation title to sell over 1 million in the country of Japan. So it was popular multiple places.
It was the first one?
Mm-hmm.
In Japan?
Yes.
The first PlayStation?
The first non-Japanese PlayStation title to sell. It was not made by Japan. It sold a million in Japan.
All right, I got it.
Okay. And this game was generally rated the best out of all three. It had kind of the best of all of the worlds. And it averaged between a 9 and a 10. So we're talking 94 is 95%. Very good.
Yeah.
Some other games worth noting. So obviously, there are a lot of Crash Bandicoot games now. The next one came out in 1999. And it was Crash Team Racing, which is basically a kart racing game.
But I thought that you just said that they didn't make one until 2020.
Well, they didn't make one as a direct sequel to that timeline.
Oh.
Yeah. So they made Crash Team Racing, which was, you know, just like racing games. Don't have a lot of story involved. And that was made in 99. And then Crash Bash came out in 2000, and this was when Naughty Dog stepped out. This was the first game not created by Naughty Dog anymore. And the game was a series of party games that were up to four players, you know, kind of a bunch of mini games all piled into things to just kind of play with your friends. That was probably the last main-ish one that I played personally was Crash Bash. And it was, you could tell it was not quite the same anymore, not quite as good. And then, unfortunately, the games just started to go downhill from that time on after Naughty Dog had been out. So with the new game that I mentioned coming out last year, there are officially 16 Crash Bandicoot-related 16? Games. Mm-hmm.
Dang, man, that's a lot.
Yeah. So when Naughty Dog stepped out in 99, Traveler's Tales took over. And they made a couple of games. They made Crash Bandicoot, The Wrath of Cortex, which is supposed to be a direct follow-up to 3. But now that they put out the real 3, it doesn't really hold anymore. So it's been retconned, if you will.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So they had that one. That one was for the PlayStation 2. That was kind of the first one that officially showed up there. Which it was not as good. It still received okay reviews. It looked like a lot of like 7s out of 10s. But you could tell it was not quite the same. And what was the other one they did here? Oh, and then they did Crash Twin Sanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was like I never played it because it was just awful. I might have rented it from a Blockbuster once and tried it, but it was just not good.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the whole time you are playing as like Crash and Cortex, mm-hmm. and you're like always fighting with each other and just trying to get through levels, but I don't really know what the motivation's supposed to be.
It does not really make sense.
It wasn't. And like it would just have you like brawling him all the time and like rolling around through levels as you were fighting. It was weird.
Okay.
Yeah. And then after that, another developer took it over, Vicarious Visions. And they made some, I believe they made the weird ones, right? Yeah, they made like Crash Bandicoot Entranced and like all this other stuff. And that was like a big Game Boy Advance era. They were trying to put Crash on the Game Boy. So there was a run of Game Boy games that I never even tried to play, to be honest. And they were not really received that well.
Sounds weird.
Yeah. And then probably the worst ones were Crash of the Titans and Crash Mind Over Mutant by another developer. So you can see it's kind of getting passed around here.
Mm-hmm.
No one really could quite find it. So that was from like 05 to 08. They made these ones and it was terrible. You could like, you were Crash, but everyone noted like you could have made this game with any character. Like, why is it Crash Bandicoot? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But you like hijack these Titan animals and then use them to like go through levels and like, you know, fight and blah blah blah. It was really weird. And then we're getting progressively worse and worse ratings. I think we were down to like 6s and 5s at this point. So it was kind of a dark era for Crash.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So my last slide I have is kind of his Crash Bandicoot's design throughout the years.
Well, he got tattoos.
Yeah, for some unknown reason. That's the ones I'm talking about, where the weird monster ones. Like, why has he got tribal tattoos now?
Yeah, he lost his gloves and he gained tattoos.
Yeah. And I mean, even in 05, he was looking kind of goofy. I guess 04 too. With a weird, that's a huge smile.
Yeah.
And then you saw the new design of how he looks today.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually haven't played the new number 4 yet. So I need to do that, because putting this episode together really reminded me and made me reminisce about these games. So, and also in 2017, they remade all the original 3 for PlayStation 4.
Huh.
It was called the N-Sane Trilogy. Because okay. They keep playing with that N, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep doing that.
So the one who made the new Crash Bandicoot 4, the studio for that one is called Toys for Bob.
Okay.
And they did a good job. That game has been well received. So hopefully with that, they can kind of bring things back into a good era for Crash Bandicoot, because it was pretty dark from 2000 to, you know, like 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a lot of bad years, and hopefully we're past all that. So yeah, you feeling pretty educated on Crash Bandicoot?
There's a lot of N's.
They like their N's a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So I did put together a little quiz for you.
All right.
Hopefully only one of these questions is going to be maybe a little difficult for you.
Okay.
Mostly just because of memory, but we'll see how you do. Okay. So what year did the first Crash game come out?
1996.
Yes, 1996 for the OG PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What type of animal is Crash?
He's a bandicoot.
He is a bandicoot.
A barred bandicoot, but not the singing type.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And do you remember what type of animal like a bandicoot was?
Marsupial.
Yes. Good job.
And something about terrestrial.
Yeah, they had a lot of labels.
You said a lot of words.
Omnivore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was looking for marsupial, so you got that one. What was Crash's original concept name?
A wombat.
Right, but what was his name?
Something that rhymed with, or something that was alliteration?
Yeah.
I feel like they were all really similar. Like all the alliteration names. Wampa?
Wampa, that was Wampa fruit was what you could collect. So Wampa, that, the wombat.
So that word was there. I don't think I remember.
It was,
I don't think I remember the name.
I figured, okay, I'm not going to count you as getting this right, but it was also the character in Nick Cage's movie that we recently watched.
Wally.
Willy the Wombat. Willy. Yep.
Man, I got the wombat part.
You did get the wombat part. Maybe half credit. Okay, now these last two are probably, might be a little rough, hopefully they're not. What were the first 3 Crash games titled?
The first one is just called Crash Bandicoot.
Yep. Nailed it.
The second one is Crash Bandicoot Cortex something.
Okay, you're pretty close. It's kind of like a Star Wars title too.
Star Wars title.
Yeah, I guess you might not know Star Wars that well, so disregard.
The Clone Wars? A New Hope? Phantom
yes,
Menace?
Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot 2, The Phantom Menace.
Was it like Return to Cortex or something? Or
it was Cortex Strikes Back.
Oh, like the Empire Strikes Back. Strikes Back. Jesus Christ. And then the third one
also
had Cortex in the name.
No.
No.
Dang it. That was like the most simple one besides obviously just Crash Bandicoot. Oh. There's just one word after it.
Returns. Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot 3.
Okay, 3. Yes.
3's in there? No.
No, but it is the third one.
Crash Bandicoot Vortex. Time. Crash Time. Bandicoot. I don't remember the third one.
It was just warped.
Oh, had to do with time.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. This one's for a lot of marbles. I'll weight this one pretty high if you can get it right.
Okay.
Can you name 5 of the bosses that Crash has to face throughout 3 of the games? So there's a total of like 11 of them. Just name.
Does engine count?
Yeah.
Entropy.
Yeah, that's 2.
Ripperoo.
Yeah.
Aku Aku. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't fight him. He fights the other one. Papu Papu.
Okay, but that's not related to the mask, but yes, he is one.
But he fights that, right? It's the nipple guy.
Yeah.
That's a boss?
Yes.
Okay. And does he fight the Uka Uka guy or not?
I mean, no, not really. You could kind of say that, but it's with the main guy.
Tiger, tiny tiger. Oh, what about Dilly Dial or whatever. What was his name? Dilly Dial.
You remember he was 2 distinct animals.
But I forget what the first one was. What are those things called? Hold on. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Hold the door.
Wait, did I already say neocortex?
No. But you already had 5. I mean, you were just trying to really hard to find Dingo Dial in there, and I was going to
Dingo
find
Dial.
It,
but... There we go.
Yeah.
Gosh. I feel like I went through a phase where I was obsessed with dingoes. That's like I was mad at myself for forgetting.
No. It happens. So okay, you got 5 of them anyway. Good Jesus job. Jesus Christ. You really had to dig deep for those there. But yeah.
Dang,
man.
I was trying to pay attention this time.
there's a lot of info. It's kind of how she goes sometimes.
For sure, man.
I didn't really have any desire to learn anything about those new games that aren't considered very good. I mean, I say new, but they were just after the 3. But Crash Bandicoot was a huge part of my childhood, and Jackie used to watch me play a lot. So
I feel like I've played like 1 level of a game once at your house.
I think you did, because me and Keaton were playing the remake, and I think you tried a level.
Mm-hmm. And that's like my only time.
Yeah. So, well, next time we do some, we'll have to try to make you play like the first level or something.
Oh, snap, man.
Yeah. Pretty cool. There. Yeah. And then, shoot. I just lost that train of thought.
Wow.
I pulled the Kendra.
Hey. That's rude, man.
Yeah. So that's about it for Crash Bandicoot. What do you think generally? What do you think about the character? You like the design? It's a little wacky.
I mean, the dude seems pretty cool. I don't like all of the N's and stuff in the name, so it's a little much.
It is, but then you know, they have a gimmick and they stuck to it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. A gimmick.
Yeah. And they're all kind of related because, you know, N-cortex, neocortex, because he has a big old brain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Entropy. I mean, you could say something about heat exchange to be part of time travel. And then engine. I mean, he literally has a rocket engine like in his head.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. You know, making characters is hard.
Yeah, man. But, you know, I guess I could give it a shot.
Yeah, that's a good time. Well, that's about all I had for the Crash Bandicoot topic, I guess. You got any cool things to plug or anything
neat? Well, before I plug something, I'm getting my hairs cut on Tuesday. And I'm trying to decide if I should get the haircut that I originally wanted when the girl gave me the soccer mom cut, or if I should just get a trim. Because I just am not sure. Because it was the one where it was supposed to be like shorter, but then like longer, you know?
Yeah. And just on the fence, no leans one way or the other?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm like hip enough for it, you know?
Well, I mean, you were willing to try it back then. Why wouldn't you now? Yeah, but
then I got in the comfortable soccer mom phase.
Oh.
But now it's getting a little, like, long. It's kind of like a weird length because it's, like, in the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's what I'm trying to decide before Tuesday at 3, so.
No. Yep.
You know, well, I guess I'll decide at 2:50 when I leave the school.
Get wild and crazy, man.
Yeah. I was going to plug what I have on my shirt, the Holinsky's Hope Foundation.
Yeah.
Which is, fighting student athlete mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of WSU related, but if you want to find out more about it, you can go to holinskyshope.org, but they do lots of things at schools like college football, mental health week. That may not be what it's called. Hold on. Yep, it is. They have a podcast called United with a 3 instead of the E. They have a bunch of resources. You know, you can also just donate by texting H3HOPE to 44321.
There you go.
Yeah.
What more do you need?
Yep. You got anything to plug, sir?
I don't really have a plug, but I have a shout out. Apparently, Jackie, my sister's friend. Whoa, I said that really weird.
You mean Merle?
Yeah, well, I was going to say my Jackie, comma, my sister, her friend Merle is starting to listen to the podcast, so just shout out to her.
Yeah, S.O. Merle.
Yeah.
Like, S.O. Shout out. Not significant other. Like S/O. We got you. Yeah, you got us, know? Yeah. Yeah. That's a perfect example of someone is sharing it with their friend, you know?
There you go.
I was also just counting when we were getting things set up, and you actually have the next 2 movies. I don't get another one until December.
Holy cow. Yeah. That's going to be pretty wild.
So you're going to have to find some good things. And then when it's my turn, we're going to have that Europe version of D&D 3. I'm going to find it. I've got 2.5 months to find it, and I'm going to find it.
I guess I'm going to have to find some kind of ridiculous Halloween movie then.
Yeah, I might have to buy a DVD and it might not be in English and we might have to watch subtitles. We might have to do it when you're home for Christmas, but you know what? We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
She's determined.
Anything else?
I don't think so. That's all I got for now.
All right. Well, if you want to, send us an email because you like us or you have helpful tips, topic suggestions, it'd be cool to get something other than spam emails and Buzzsprout updates to our email address. So you can send us an email to 5FIVEMoreMinutesPod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, where I sometimes forget to post, but I try to, or Facebook. At 5MMPOD. And sometimes Instagram's dumb like it is today and it won't let me post things. So, you know, maybe we'll get it figured out. But, you know, you can watch our reels. Sometimes I do behind the scenes things. Like I'll probably post what I did today when Scott got online.
Yeah.
And the one I was trying to post today was the one I did last week. So I was really upset that it wouldn't work.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. And then... reels, clips, share them with your friends, give us all the post interactions. And then of course you can like and subscribe wherever you're listening right now and download those apps, write us a review. No one has done that yet. So if you want to write us a review on Apple or wherever you're able to leave reviews, you know, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
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 And go Cougs.
Go Vandals then. So yeah,
I can also say that because I went there.
That's true. You got a double dip. Hey, look at that. It's a little dusty, but.
I didn't go to any sports events, though, because when you're a master's student, you don't really do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeehaw.
Okay. Well, cool. We appreciate you guys listening, and I guess we will clock out till next week.
Yeah, we'll do something wild again. Maybe I'll have a weird topic again. I don't know.
Oh, snap. You got to hang around for that.
Yeah, because it's always a wild ride, you know?
Cool.
All right. Well, it's Thursday, so go to a bar or something.
On Thursday, or you want to wait till Friday?
No, you should go Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Get a thirsty Thursday going. Yeah. Get a finally Friday going.
Mm-hmm.
And get a...
a see you Saturday.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, listen, it doesn't have to make sense.